This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
Experience the magic.
Ooh, you got magic.
We are back.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to Breaking Waves. My name is Riley.
You are Riley Thomas, and I am
John Mark. And today on the program, we are bringing you a show on the topic of magic. What is magic? Where does it come from?
What is it good for?
You're going to hear all about it. But first, a word from our sponsor.
You must be talking about Jesus, the greatest magician ever. Is he our sponsor today?
Well, I hope so.
You don't hear a lot about it, really. Magic? Is a thing these days?
No, it's one of those words that's like used to describe things as opposed to...
That are kind of nice. Ah, it's magical.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I think in the past that had a lot more meaning than it has now. The concept was more useful.
I suppose it's relegated for the most part to the realm of entertainment.
Yeah, the travelling magician, I guess. The circus tent kind of guy that does saws women in half.
Mm.
Does stuff with tanks of water.
Or like Disney movies.
What were those movies?
The Prestige.
Yeah, The Prestige. And the other one that came out.
The Illusionist with Ed Norton, yeah.
Yeah, so you got those kind of magicians. Well, let's have a look at Merriam-Webster and see what they give us as a definition. Noun, the noun magic, the use or means believed to have supernatural power over natural forces. Magic rites or incantations. The second meaning they've got here is extraordinary power or influence, seemingly from a supernatural source. The art of producing illusions by sleight of hand. So there, you've got your magician, and that would be commonly how people would think of magic. It's some kind of trick. Because we have science now, and we have experts that we can refer to for all of the facts in this modern world we live in. I guess we don't have a lot of... that's why we don't have a lot of utility for magic.
That's right. It's just a piece of entertainment, light entertainment for the most part, for most people anyway.
Well, perhaps we can get some more insight if we go to the etymology. We'll go to Etymology Online and have a look at the origins of the concept of the word.
Let's do it.
Origin and history of magic. Okay, magic, noun, the late 14th century, magic, spelt with a K, which sounds Greekish, the art of influencing or predicting events and producing marvels using hidden natural forces. Also supernatural art, especially the art of controlling the actions or spiritual or superhuman beings, from the old French. Magique, spelled with a Q-U-E, which meant magical, or magic from Latin. Magicus, sorcery, magic. There's a reference to the Irish here. Where is that?
I like the Greek magos, magician, sorcerer, priest. M-A-G-O-S.
Displaced in Old English, wizardcraft or witchcraft, also dry craft from dry magician, from Irish druy, which meant priest or magician. So it appears that priests and people concerned with spiritual matters were seen as having magical powers. And of course, back in ancient times, before the age of modern science, it was all philosophy. And it was science was really called natural philosophy. And it was the province of only certain people, the church largely, and anybody else who any else who practiced magical arts were demonized largely and hunted down.
Yes, so the magic is then in opposition to the church or the order of things.
Now, this gave rise to the idea of natural magic as opposed to some kind of sorcery perpetrated by a wizard. The idea of natural magic was in the Middle Ages, involved forces that did not involve the agency of personal spirits. It was considered more or less legitimate, not sinful, and involved much that later would be explained scientifically as a manipulation of natural forces. So there were different kinds of magic. And if you read any Carlos Castaneda, he certainly talks about all kinds of forces of nature and entities.
And a lot about power too.
Yes. Power that seems to do good and power that seems to do not so good things.
That's interesting. So without the personal spiritual entities, and so would that be, I guess more letting nature take its course and being less of a hindrance on that? Or
the mystery of the natural world, but seen as not in no way an evil thing, you know. Pretty similar to how we look at nature now, you know. We look at all of the things that transpire in a natural world which might seem cruel or not in alignment with human sort of values or principles, but it's the natural world, so it's not encumbered by our concepts and our values.
So, yes, not imposing them.
So we have the idea of... Now, different kinds of magic. If you think of the term magic, there are a few terms that sort of pop out, and black magic's obviously pops out the front of the queue there. And this comes from the idea that black is somehow related to sin. So it would be a sinful form of magic.
And then, of course, conversely, white magic is the good magic.
Yes, and the black magic, another name for that was necromancy.
And that, I believe, refers to someone who can control the dead and
sorcery, yes. I think it was more generally used as
for like a bad
magic.
Sorcery, yeah.
Yeah. Bad intentions. So that's a Latin term, necromancy. So obviously the idea of good and bad magic go way, way back. We've got white magic, which was basically associated with theurgia or theology. Or the church.
Well, how convenient.
Religious doctrines. They would classify themselves as a form of white magic. Now, what does it say here? Magic is an adjective or of or pertaining to magic working or produced by enchantment, having supernatural qualities or powers, late 14th century. Old French, from Latin, magicus. From Greek, magikos. Now, the magic carpet pops up here, a legendary carpet which would transport a person wherever he wished to go. And I remember that in the tales of Ali Baba.
That's right.
In Arabia, as a kid, the magic carpet.
And that must bring to mind the magic lamp.
Indeed, the genie. And
the
also
Three Wishes.
The song by The Magic Carpet Ride by
Steppenwolf.
Yes, by Steppenwolf. That's a good one.
And of course we have the magic wand, which is synonymous with
fairies.
Well, you say fairies, which is true, but it's also the witches and the wizards too.
Yes, they did stir their pot with a stick. And I can remember wizards waving a wand, but I just have this image in my mind. When I think of a fairy, it's this little creature emanating light and floating in the air with wings, and it has a wand in its hand.
It's like Tinkerbell.
I guess, yeah. I guess that's image comes from Disney. It would be where I got it from. I had a Disney book when I was a little kid.
Yeah, well, that's sort of what she's like, kind of their one of their major sort of mascots. Experience the magic. And yes, practices of Wicca and Thelema, which comes from Aleister Crowley, and the John Dee Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, they all incorporate wands into their magical practices and rituals as well in real life.
And one of my favorite characters from the Disney world would be the tale of the Sorcerer's Apprentice, which I read when I was a little kid, and really it got hold of my imagination.
Me too.
It was
So you read a book version of it.
Oh, what?
You had a picture book version of the story.
Yeah, I had this this amazing books with fantastic pictures in them that my parents brought back from America in the early 60s when they went over there. And fantastic illustrations. And I remember in this story, the student was like a little mousy-looking creature.
Mickey Mouse, in fact.
Yeah, okay. He was Mickey Mouse. And the sorcerer was this dude with like a big long hair and a big moustache and robes on. I can't remember. I think he might have had a wand. I'm not sure. But he definitely had a spell book. And in this story, the apprentice was left the task of cleaning, mopping the floor and, you know, doing stuff like that. He thought he might look in the sorcerer's book and see if he could find a spell that would help him out with the chores he had to do. So he cast a spell on the mop and bucket to do the mopping on its own. And it went haywire and started going to the well and getting water and started filling the whole place up with water, and he couldn't stop it. So he got an axe and he chopped it up. And then it turned into hundreds of little brooms, all that went and got buckets, and it made it even worse. And so it got worse and worse. And in the end, the wizard returns, and what have you done? And sort of fixes it all up, and he learns a lesson.
And if you see that, you know, when you're a kid, you're never going to forget it. Or in John's case, read it. And yes, it's a short that appears in the 1940 animated musical movie Fantasia, an absolute classic. So what do you think it is about the story that resonated so much, John?
Well, I don't know whether it was the relationship between the apprentice and the wizard. I think I like that because I like to learn things as a kid. My dad used to teach me things, so he was a bit of a wizard to me because he could carve and use all kinds of tools. He taught me to use chisels and drills and all kinds of things. But also having to do chores. I used to have to do chores when I was a kid. I used to have to mow the lawn and, you know, so I think it really resonated with me, the idea that you could actually cast a spell and automate the cleaning process to make things easier for myself using witchcraft.
And just on getting back onto wand just briefly, some people believe that the name Hollywood comes from the wand, the Wizard's wand made from the holly tree. And so this idea of wizardry is sort of tied in perhaps to the film industry from its inception.
Yes. So magical objects. Now, there are a few objects that are associated with the idea of magic. So we've got magical wands. We've got magic carpets. There's a thing called a magic lantern. Have you ever heard of a magic lantern?
Well, that's like, is that not the same as a magic lamp?
Projected onto the wall.
Right, it was an early slide projector.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, interesting.
We also have the magic marker.
Yes.
Which is what? It's just a pen that, it's just like a, what is it? How do you define a magic marker? It's just like a texter, right? What a magic marker is, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
It doesn't rub off or it does rub off?
I guess it doesn't. That's why it's magic.
Now, we've got magic coffee, apparently, which I've never heard of before. What is it?
This is a product, and it's some kind of coffee from Melbourne.
It's not that magic beans that the animal eats and then they collect the beans after it's passed through the animal. It's some kind of magic coffee.
Magic coffee. It's made with steamed milk and is added to a double ristretto. It's a thing out of Melbourne, apparently. So
okay.
There you go.
It's a special kind of latte.
Yeah.
Well, we know we have magic spells. We've already mentioned them. And we've mentioned magic rituals as well. Now, we're all pretty patented. We all like habits. So in a way, they're rituals. So it's interesting to think that there's actually magic involved with the patterns of our daily lives.
Yeah, people talk about that, the ritual of the morning coffee or the television, the nightly news or whatever. Are you familiar with like the kind of, some of the idea of like counting rituals that would be associated with what they call obsessive compulsive disorder? So it's interesting that these things are referred to as rituals. And it's similar, I guess, to magic. And I was kind of practicing my own kind of brand of magic as a kid, counting, shaking the pillow out 12 times and that kind of thing. So.
Yes, and that makes me think of, you know, like not walking under ladders and.
Superstitions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those kinds of behaviors that are supposedly based on a belief that that action could have magical sort of effects on one's future prospects. Mm. If you have to be careful what you do in case you do some bad magic. So we have magical symbols of all kinds. Apparently there's a thing called a magic circle in mathematics. No, a magic square, which has some kind of qualities that make it magic. But there's all kinds of symbolism associated with magic. The pentagram's one of them, associated with some kind of witchcraft.
And there's sigil magic, which is the idea of like imbuing a certain symbol with like an energy and intention so that when you draw that, it's going to manifest what you want, I suppose. And then there's also the idea of meme magic. John, are you familiar with this concept?
Well, memes have become a very popular way of, what would you say, taking the piss in the modern age.
Yeah, and the context of which I've heard meme magic used is in relation to the Trump presidency and his first campaign back before he got elected a decade ago. And do you remember those Pepe the Frog memes, John?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so the idea was with these like young guys saying like kek and stuff like that, they were sort of actually invoking some kind of frog god to help Trump get elected?
Well, I got to tell you, every time I look at anything to do with politics these days, all I see is wizardry and magic and spell casting and sorcery. Suffice to say, I see a lot of magic going on when it comes to the whole circus of politics, let's say.
Absolutely. And when on the subject of sigils as well, when it comes to advertising and branding and things like that, well, iconic symbols to do with products could be seen as like sigils as well. And the magic circle is, of course, seen in a lot of rituals. You know, you'll see like putting the salt around in a circle and standing in the circle to magnify some power or avoid some other pernicious power. And you were mentioning the idea of anti-magic as well, John, which is like the a spell to, I guess, prevent another spell or to diminish the power of some other kind of magic.
Combat the bad magic. Yeah, I think it could be quite a useful thing. Not something I'd actually ever heard of before, anti-magic, but there you go. Came across that one on the definition site there. There's a synonym. Hello. And we've got a little bird out there talking to us. Yes. Magic, that's right. Oh, here's another one, magic box. Do you know what a magic box is?
No, is that to do with like the Schrodinger's cat thing? Or?
I'd say that'd be a good example of one. It's basically the other term for it is a black box. Or the idea is that something is going on in there and you don't know what it is because it's inside the box. But it has an effect or a result of some kind. It's that'd be my general definition of what magic is. It's basically a process. It's not understood or it's not obvious. So you see a manifestation of something, but how did that happen? Well, there's the magic.
Well, that brings to mind that famous quote from Arthur C. Clarke, "Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic."
There you go. That's a great definition. That's a nice, simple one. Which I like, and probably why it's used so much. And I think it was used in reference to those cargo cults in New Guinea that worshipped aeroplane gods because they saw aeroplanes supposedly flying. They saw planes flying overhead, and so they built effigies of planes and started worshipping them.
And it also brings to mind that Wizard of Oz idea of using technology, you know, in that movie to project this big scary face, but actually he's just a dude behind a curtain who's putting on a light and shadow show. And so, yes, misdirection, sleight of hand, pay no attention to what the other hand's doing. And that, of course, ties into the tricks, the magicians and things like that. And it's a theme that I enjoy in stories when they have the idea of disguising real magic as trickery, as an unexplained thing. Like Prestige is a good example because he was making it seem like a magic trick but actually pulling off something incredible. Yes, there's a number of other stories that also have that idea of disguising it as human trickery, or like as mere trickery.
Yeah, I've got to say, I have a lot more room for it in my world now, magic, than I did perhaps when I was younger, when I was really interested in science and the scientific explanation of things. And I was mesmerized and inspired by the stories of the scientific disciplines, you know, physics and chemistry and mathematics. Seemed to be able to explain just about everything, it seemed, when I first discovered these things. But as time has gone on and I've looked further, I've come across so much mystery, so much unknown and unknowable that I think I have a...
You're more open-minded.
Well, I've discovered or rediscovered. I've discovered a whole world of mystery, yeah, of magic. And it seems more important in my day-to-day life now than the science used to be.
Yeah, and that's like the, you know, the idea that science being servicing as an explanation for everything, and so one could say that it's like taking the magic out of the world, but that's really an illusion. To say that everything's all figured out and one day we'll just know everything and we won't have to wonder about anything because we'll just be able to punch it into some supercomputer or, you know, whatever that vision might be. But of course the world is far more mysterious, and acknowledging your own lack of knowledge is a step towards wisdom. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. And a great trick of the modern world is convincing people that magic only exists in fiction. We were talking, John, about the idea of, you know, what it would be like if someone from the olden days got transported into now. And would they be terrified of our mobile phones and think they were like demonic and contained little demons and things like that? And so, but we were sort of saying, yeah, like, why do people take the technology for granted now? And it's the way, I guess, that it's presented as like something mundane, when really it is this like magical crystal technology, you know, that, most people don't understand.
Yeah, in this industrialized world where our lives are full of all these devices and things that are a product of industry, not a product of individual endeavor. It's quite a different process. The industrial process has given us all these things, but most of us don't know how any of these things work. We take it on some kind of faith that they're scientific, that the guys that made them actually had some kind of, this is the main utility for scientific theories in the industrialized world, is explaining how things were produced and being able to manufacture stuff, widgets that are all the same and fit together, you know, bolts and nuts that screw onto bolts, no matter where you buy them from. A truly incredible thing, and that's the utility of our scientific theories, but I don't think that they've really, I don't think they've got rid of the existence of magic. And so, we have reached the end
of the show. But, dear listeners, we do hope that you can have a magical time if you so desire. Find the magic within your own life. It might not be as mundane as you thought.
It's everywhere. Get some.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.